They say we throw away 40% of our food. Seems kind of silly, doesn't it? In a very real sense, throwing away 40% of our food is like throwing away 40% of our paycheck. But wait, that food we throw away is only the tip of our biomass waste iceberg. All this waste, going to waste, leads us to ask, how can we save the gold in our garbage?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 1013th edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on the GCN Radio Network. Hey, perhaps you're among our friends down there in Suva who are tuned in as we stream along in the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Jason Struby on the boards. Hello, Jason.
Hello, hello.
Well, folks, think of what we are throwing away when we throw away 40% of our food. It really is like throwing away 40% of our paychecks, right? And then there's all the rest of the wasted biomass that we toss, the crop residues, the garden clippings, the forestry wastes. We just have to know that if we keep throwing things away, it might just all go away. One key to our survival may well come from what we can learn from the terra preta of the Amazon. Little history here. When the first Europeans visited the Amazon basin in 1542, they found large populations of civilized people living in cities supported by agriculture. However, subsequent explorers, a couple hundred years later, found only scattered bands of hunters and gatherers, and so the early reports of civilizations were dismissed as myth. Later, much later, scientists flying over the Amazon basin noticed grid-like patterns carved into the terrain. Investigating, they found large mounds containing ceramic shards, and they found deposits of rich, dark soil they called terra preta. Scientists are now telling us that terra preta, which is Portuguese for black earth, is sterile Amazon jungle soil made fertile with the addition of charcoal and compost. But get this. Terra preta, the scientists tell us, was manufactured by the people who lived in the Amazon basin 3,000 years ago. And the soil they built way back then is still living and fertile today. The fundamental technology of terra preta, we are told, is simply the sequestering of carbon with organic composts. And so today we pause to ask, can the technology developed by the Amazonians 3,000 years ago help us to get the gold from all the garbage we're throwing away? Here to help us look for an answer, we have some of the two of the people who can help us make terra preta. First of all, we're going to go to Wesley Bolson in Colorado, who is with a company called Cool Planet. Now, I met Wesley this week while doing moderating a seminar on sustainability at the Ag Tech Seminar in Silicon Valley. And Wesley's presentation was kind of blew me away because he was talking about one of the constituents of terra preta, which is biochar. Wesley, welcome to the Food Chain Radio program.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you this morning, Michael.
Good to have you aboard. So tell us about Cool Planet.
Yeah, I mean, Cool Planet is a company. We started out in Camarillo, California, down there about an hour south of Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
And the idea was to turn leftover agricultural waste, like corn stalks or wood chips or grass, into high-octane gasoline and this biochar product that we upgrade and we call Cool Terra. And we're selling it commercially today into California and into the agriculture markets. So this biochar, or what we call Cool Terra, is alive and well a few thousand years after the Amazonians were using it.
Where did you come across the technology? Where did you folks at Cool Tech realize that, you know, this has been something that has been used for many thousands of years, or 3,000 years?
Yeah, I think the first idea was, you know, if you take in the biomass material and in the absence of oxygen, you cook the biomass with temperature and a little bit of pressure. Vapors come off, and that's what goes into fuel. We had this remaining substance left over. If we use a wood chip as the example, a wood chip skeleton, which is the biochar. At first you could look at it just like the Amazonians did. Put it back into the ground, just bury it, and that's carbon sequestration. And that was really the original idea, is actually affect climate change, taking CO2 out of the atmosphere and putting it back into the soil. What we started doing was saying, let's take this product and upgrade it. A lot of people had been doing biochar for many years, but they didn't really understand the agronomy and the surface chemistry and how to activate the pores to really hold on to water and nutrients. And so we brought in multiple PhDs. We have a brilliant team in Camarillo, California, to take raw biochar and make it immediately effective in agriculture today.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of increase the surface area to make it better hold moisture and nutrients.
Yeah, that's the idea, is if you can get this cool Terra product, what we do is we open up the pores of raw biochar, we adjust the pH, we look at, you know, how to take out any toxins. There's actually some people who don't understand biochar who may even do some harm, and that's where Cool Planet wants to bring science to taking raw biochar and putting it back into the ground. Mm-hmm. And then what it's going to do is hold on to that water and hold on to nutrients at the root level of the crop. So it's great for drought. It's great for increasing productivity of crops, and we're seeing that today.
So I have a question for you. You're a Stanford MBA. When did you come to the realization that you're going to invest in a career in making charcoal?
Before the McKinsey and Stanford MBA years, I was a farmer. I grew up raising black Angus cattle and quarter horses and corn and soybeans in the Midwest. And so I would say a love for agriculture has always been there. And I love being able to mix energy and ag, or how can we make food and fuel is the method.
Good to go. Also with us today, we have Ivy Young. Ivy, I learned about Ivy from a food chain producer, Kelly Bayer, who insisted that I do a show on recycling. And so we had the show scheduled for recycling, and boy, all of a sudden we have Wesley Bolson and we have Ivy Young. Ivy, you have a business, Santa Cruz Compost. Tell us a little bit about your business.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, I started my business here in Santa Cruz about 2 years ago. Just about 1 year ago. My anniversary is coming up in June. I heard about a company in Austin, Texas that inspired me. They were called the Eastside Compost Peddlers, and they were basically just collecting food waste residentially in their area and bringing it to local farms to make compost for them. And when I moved here and found that the city had no program for residential compost collection, I just took it upon myself to make that happen.
So you compost food waste then?
Correct, yeah. I provide households with a bucket for their compost collection, and then I ride around weekly collecting compost from their house, bringing it to a local urban farm and making compost for the farm. All the compost that I make is just donated to the farming project.
Okay, so now I have to ask you, how did you go from studying the clarinet at San Francisco State to being the resident compost expert?
You know, honestly, it had a lot to do with my son being born. I was working up in San Francisco and had a great job studying the clarinet just for fun and trying to learn as much as I could about everything. But when my son was born, I realized I really needed to tap into what was important to me so that I could...
And recycling has always been important to you.
Yeah, I felt like sustainability and the idea of transformation, mm-hmm. and...
So not a farm girl, you're a city girl, but you still have this same consciousness that Wesley's talking about.
I did actually grow up in the Sierra foothills raising goats and making tofu. And I mean, composting was just a normal thing for me. And I am one of the people that feels very uncomfortable throwing a banana peel in the trash can. So I knew that if I was out there, there was a lot of people that shared that.
It seems to be a very much part of our consciousness. Well, the question is, what do we do with all of the stuff that we're throwing away? It seems so ridiculous to throw 40% of our food away and so much more of our biomass. It seems like we keep throwing these things away. There's not going to be anything left for us to throw away, and then we're going to be in really deep doo-doo. But maybe we can learn from those folks way down in the Amazon basin who 3,000 years ago used charcoal and compost to make soil that lives after 3,000 years. Folks, this is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson. We have Wesley Bolson with the Cool Planet Company, manufacturers of enhanced biochar. We have Ivy Young, Santa Cruz Compost, who recycles food and puts it back into the soil so that we can eat it again. And we have you, 800-624-2665, 831-4790, right back.
Get this. You can earn a 5-, 6-, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
Houseplants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city green belts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at MetroFarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high-value specialty crops for the city at metrofarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at metrofarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at metrofarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5-, 6-, or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at metrofarm.com. That's metrofarm.com.
Well, if you think about it, it's truly amazing. People in the Amazon basin 3,000 years ago developed soil out of sterile, inert soil. They built it up with carbon using charcoal and organic waste. And they built and they built and they built. And that soil is still alive today. As a matter of fact, they sell it as potting soil throughout the Amazon. And so we're looking at what they did, the combining of carbon and organic matter and the building of the soil, and wondering why can't we do that today here in the developed world where we spend so much of our effort throwing our things away. And so that's what I'd like to talk about right now, is all of the things that we do throw away. Ivy, let's start with you. What do you find that we're throwing away here in the little city of Santa Cruz, California?
Well, quite a lot, actually. I did some research and found that here locally we're sending 10,000 tons of food scraps and other compostable waste to our local landfill, which is
this
filling
is like
up.
A city of 70,000 people.
It's not that big of a town, and that's quite a significant amount of food and waste in general. And my company in the last year has managed to save about 20,000 pounds of that from being sent to the landfill, and it's all been composted and it's all been moved by bikes. So we haven't burned any extra carbon in the process of collecting it. And I really believe that it's possible to reclaim all of that and put it to use.
20,000 pounds of, and think of what's that. All that's precious energy that's gone into that food. Think of all the energy that it required to manufacture that food that we're throwing away.
And to transport it. I like to talk about the difference between linear and closed loop systems.
What does that mean?
Well, the system of waste management that we have now is sort of a linear system. We truck food from farms to stores. People drive to stores to get their food. They drive it back to their homes. Then when they're done, they throw the leftovers into a trash bag. Then the trash collecting trucks drive up, burning more carbon. They bring it to a giant landfill. They throw it in, and they make methane. So it's just a straight line from fossil fuel to methane gas production. That's basically
what do they do with the methane?
It just goes into the atmosphere, just creating, it's one of the most damaging greenhouse gases that there are.
So not only are we taking the food that we eat, it's like our paycheck. But not only are we throwing away 40% of the food that we buy, but we're using it to make methane, which is a greenhouse gas, which is responsible for who knows what kind of havoc in the world.
Correct. Yeah, and I'm a lot more attracted to the closed-loop system.
That is?
Basically, your food comes from a local farm. Hopefully, you ride your bike over there to get it. You pick it up. You bring it home. When you are done, you put your food scraps in a special collection bucket, or you compost it in your own backyard. Maybe I'll come by on my bicycle and pick it up for you, and I'll bring it back to the farm where I'll make fertility for that farm to grow more food.
So a closed system. So things, instead of throwing away the paycheck, you put the money back into the bank and...
Well, it's like reinvestment, yeah.
Yeah, it's like reinvestment.
Reinvesting your garbage.
Wesley Bolson, you're not quite working on the household level, but you're working on much more on an industrial level, right? What kind of garbage are you finding that we're throwing away?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it from a national level, across the U.S., we have 1 billion tons. The U.S. Department of Energy did a study to say there are 1 billion tons of agricultural residues. And what that just means is corn stalks and wood chips and grasses and things that are wasted every year that we could turn into energy or we could turn into a product. And you want it to be local, just like Ivy was talking about. We're gonna build plants that take in local ag residues or biomass, whether that's in the viticulture industry. You know, we can help grow wine grapes and stronger roots and better growing that we've seen. But sometimes they strip out old vines. You know, there's walnut trees and almond trees in the Central Valley that, you know, as you trim and get those out, your alternative, some people burn them or they just kind of chip them up. That, again, at points will decompose and turn back into methane. Let's turn it into that carbon you're talking about, Michael, that goes back into the soil that helps those almond trees and walnut trees and wine grapes and horticulture in those greenhouses that, you know, many people would like to grow, you know, some of the organic crops in. And let's put it back in and store that carbon and do it in a way that's saving. So we're using all those in a piece which you and I haven't even talked about, Michael, and Ivy might be really interested in. We're putting CoolTerra into composting today, and it's helping the composting process, and it is reducing odors. Some people, the only complaint they have about composting is sometimes there's odors. So I think when we're done with the show, Ivy and I might even just work together. Let's do composting, and let's do it even better with less odors and take away their only complaint. So
that would be my wife complaining about my compost with it. I put fish in it. I get some complaints from her all the time. Ow, it stinks, but only for a little bit. And after a while, yeah. Very short period of time, it actually smells very nice. It smells almost good compost. It's like sweet. It's beautiful. So how do we come to grips with realizing how much we're throwing away? Because intern Andrew here was talking about, gee, when I think about recycling, I always think about recycling beer cans or something. But it's much more than that. We can recycle food. But we really haven't come to grips with even thinking about food or biomass waste, like the crop residues in the field. What is it going to take to get people to actually come to grips with realizing what we are throwing away? Ivy?
I think it has to do with shifting people's value system. I mean, most of our values are invented. We make a decision to give something value. And if things like banana peels and carrot tops can be given a value, then people will be less likely to just toss them out or try to hide them or get rid of them. They say, like, when I look at a bucket of compost and food scraps, I see something that can easily be transformed into, like you said, something gold.
Yeah.
And money. So I'm trying to coin this phrase, but I like the idea of bringing alchemy into the everyday. So trying to find every opportunity to take garbage and make it into something useful again.
Wow. Well, what about you, Wesley? What do you think we can do, you know, to convince the world agriculture, instead of throwing that stuff away, to recycle it? I guess we're going to have to figure out how to make it real easy for them to do, right?
Yeah, you got to make it easy and, you know, to the point of people are moved by economic decisions. You know, Cool Planet is purchasing ag residues. We purchase the wood residues or the wood pre-commercial thinnings or the, you know, the leftover waste crops. And when I put a value on that, because we turn it into low carbon fuel, and that is something very important in California, is let's reduce the carbon emissions of our fuel. Because there's going to be cars on the road, and that's something that, that's the co-product of making this Cool Terra product is high-octane gasoline, jet, and diesel fuel. So when I can make fuels like that, I can put an economic value on those waste materials, and then the farmer, you know, makes money
right.
by doing something that he wants to do, and then it's this whole full circle idea. You know, he could purchase the Cool Terra to put back out on his fields to grow more crops using less fertilizer and water. Mm-hmm. And so when we can be that full circle for the farmer, he brings us his ag waste. We pay him for that. We convert it into fuel in Cool Terra, and then he purchases the Cool Terra to put back out onto his fields or his
kind of like the closed system Ivy was talking about.
Absolutely, and to your point, it lasts sometimes a few thousand years. So he applies it once to his trees or, say, your landscaping and turf. You put it down once and it helps your grass grow, not die.
Well, when we get back from this break, I'd like to talk about the how they, 3,000 years ago, went about making bio or Terra Preta and what lessons we can learn from that as Ivy and Wesley go into the world of recycling our food and biomass waste. Can what they did 3,000 years ago be translated into what we can do today? And if we can do it today, will it take us another 3,000 years down the road? This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson, Wesley Bolson, and Ivy Young, and you, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Well, folks, 3,000 years ago, the people who lived in the Amazon basin manufactured soil, fertile, rich, black, terra preta soil out of the sterile soil of the Amazon. And with that soil, they grew food and built a civilization. In 1542, when the Europeans showed up, there was this civilization. People lived in cities, walled cities, and they had roads, and they had civilization. And then when the Europeans showed up 200 years later, they were all gone. Zero. Disappeared completely. The only people left were wandering tribes of hunters and gatherers. An incredible story. But what did they do to build that soil? They used two elements, essentially, carbon and organic matter. The exact formula, a big mystery. But let's talk about those two elements. Let's start with carbon. Wesley Bolson, Cool Planet, makes carbonaceous material he calls enhanced biochar. What exactly is that, Wesley?
Yeah, I mean, what you have is biomass, which has been, opened up. You've opened up the pores of, like I'll use the wood chip, for example. It's like a wood chip sponge. And what you have are little macro pores and micro pores, big pores and little pores that are going to hold on to water and nutrients. But it's a stable form of carbon. You've taken it almost to a person's thinking a charcoal or graphite type carbon that survives for hundreds, but you know you can see in the Amazon thousands of years. And so in our mind, that carbon came out of the atmosphere, came out of CO2 and sunlight into that ag residues or ag waste. We then put it into a stable form of carbon.
How do you do that? What is the secret of your secret, if you don't mind giving it all away?
We'll stay right above giving away all the jewels. But you're in the absence of oxygen, cooking it with some temperature and pressure, and they call it that a pyrolysis mm-hmm. system. A pyrolysis system is simply cooking in the absence of oxygen, call it 300 or 400 degrees, 500 degrees Celsius. So it's not consume. It doesn't consume the whole material. Some people have heard of gasification before, but this is one step before that. It puts it into a stable form of carbon, and carbonaceous vapors come off that we convert to the fuel. But what's left is that wood chip sponge. Mm-hmm. That's really what the Amazonians were doing. They didn't know exactly what they were doing, but we think they had kilns. They had the clay ovens, and it kind of held in the heat and the oxygen, and it cooked that biomass material and put it back into the soil then. What we're doing is, in essence, that on an industrial scale. We were building a pyrolysis unit that in minutes converts that ag residue into this stable form of carbon. And then in about 12 minutes, we take it from raw biochar all the way to our Cool Terra product.
Wow.
That is a product that consistently can go back into agriculture. We think the Amazonians may have had to wait a couple years before it became really fertile. In our case, it's fertile immediately.
Well, just in the first place, to help our understanding, the biochar itself is inert. There are no nutrients with it. It's an inert substance, right?
That's correct. It's not what fertilizer. It's not an NPK, as people say. Right. It what it does is it holds on to that, and we'll see 50% reductions in fertilizer or water.
Right. So it's kind of like the sponge. So that means that somehow the Amazonians had to add the nutrients to the soil. Ivy?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm kind of feeling embarrassed right now because what he's talking about is so, like, intensely, you know, scientific, and I feel like...
But the Amazonians weren't scientific. They were recycling.
It's really fascinating to me. I was really, like, interested in what he was saying, and, you know, just sort of feeling kind of rinky-dink about what I do, because people have been composting in their backyards since, you know, the beginning. And
but that was the secret of Terra Preta is twofold.
Yeah, I'm fascinated.
One is the carbon, and the other are the nutrients, because without the nutrition or without the humus, then the biochar wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, and so, I mean, basically that's what I'm facilitating in my project is...
How do you make compost?
When you do put your food scraps into a plastic bag and wrap it up and send it to the landfill, it doesn't turn into compost. That's the difference. That's why putting it in the compost bucket is different. And really all I do is create an environment where microorganisms can exist that like to eat those food scraps. And that requires just a few simple elements. You put, you know, the food scraps are the food for the microorganisms and macroorganisms as well. And then you make a home for them. You add carbonous materials like straw or manure. You make, I call it a tiramisu of, mm-hmm. Of those elements. And I don't actually do any of the work.
You just heard about 40 trillion microorganisms around, right? That's your job.
Yeah. I mean, I'm basically just, I feel a little bit like a god of sorts, you know. I make a world for them.
Mm-hmm. And they live in it. Well, and that gets back to this whole notion of how this Terra Preta survived for 3,000 years by taking care of itself, essentially, because there was nobody left to take care of it, and yet it lives. How does soil live after so long in a environment that's so leaching, that's so designed to leach the nutrients out of soil? So you go back to this carbon material like biochar, and I see it in the soil, but how does the organic matter interact? It's kind of like, you know what I think, Wesley? I think of, you have a sandy beach, you know, and there's nothing out there in the water because it's just sand. But if you throw an old car body out there, pretty soon little fishes start accumulating, and pretty soon bigger fishes come, and you have this regular food chain. So I kind of see that as what's happening with the biochar in the soil. It's kind of like little places where little organisms can collect and start developing a civilization of their own.
No, I think you're right on, and you know, where I like the interaction here with Ivy, it's a sense of what Cool Planet provides with our Cool Terra product are condominiums. We build little condominiums for microbes to live. and for this, you know, this organic matter, because that's exactly what it is beneficial bacteria live in the soil. Beneficial microbes naturally live in the soil, but they need a place to stay and not wash out or you know, move on. And if we can hold on to some of those beneficial microbes near the root level of plants, you're going to have healthier roots. It's going to hold on and continue to promote plant health and plant life. And then what's growing above the ground is healthier, and it can actually be tolerant to disease. So we use less fertilizer, and things that we have to spray that could hurt people. Methyl bromide, for example, is being sprayed on strawberries down in the valley. What we saw is if you provide just a good natural home for strawberries by giving them a good root level and good organic material, the plant doesn't need to be sprayed with methyl bromide. It can.
Well, it's not the plant that's sprayed by methyl bromide. It's the soil that's injected. We have to take a quick break, but that's where we're going to go when we come back. How can we use this incredible technology developed 3,000 years ago to get 3,000 more years out of planet Earth right back? Well, interesting question from Andrew, the intern, who says, how did these people really know what they're doing 3,000 years ago? Did they really know what they were doing in building terra preta, soil that lasts 3,000 years? What do you think, Wesley?
I do. I think there's a thing called trial and error, and I think they took and they started planting some of this biochar back into the soil. And they saw increases in yield, more crops, and then they looked, you know, a mile out to the clay, yucky dirt that wasn't growing anything, and they said, hey, whatever we did here, I think it started out by accident. Somebody's clay oven busted, or maybe they had it for heat, and they were burning some leftover biomass, and I think could have started by accident that turned into something that they knew 3,000 years ago that we're just now relearning here in the U.S.
Well, Ivy?
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I agree with that potential, and it's interesting to think about. I tend to be one that believes that the more connected you are with your place and your environment, the more intuitively you can behave to sustain that environment.
You know, that's a really interesting point, because we're not connected very much with our environment anymore, we who live in the city.
Which is why I feel like it's harder for us to imagine that kind of connection with food and sustainability. And for them, I'm guessing, I mean, it's, what do I know about 3,000 years ago? But my intuition tells me that their process was largely intuitive. And so whether that is accounted for as a mistake or an accident or, you know,
sure.
I feel like it had to do with a connectivity with the food process. This was not just going down to the local supermarket
right.
and grabbing a bite to eat. This was, how can we survive here?
How can we survive? This food. I can't imagine them throwing food away. It would always be recycled.
It would probably have been laughable.
If they were, and Ivy's talking about it, is if we were hungry and we were growing our food, and then understanding, I mean, composting probably wasn't a word they used. It was, hey, let's put our ag scraps back into the soil and help it, because it makes it, somehow it grows better and it grows more than just throwing it away or letting the animals eat it or something.
One of the leaders, one of the curanderos, the witch doctor, stood on a stump one day and said, waste not, want not. And it became the law of the land. So how do we take, you know, this incredible potential that we see happened 3,000 years ago, and how do we bring that home, Wesley?
Yeah, I think what we need to do is, one, understand. I think we're still trying to learn what the benefits of an enhanced biochar that like Cool Terra is. You know, I mean, it's available today, but I think there's still some uncertainty. There's still a little bit of, I don't know if that really works. And I think we have to bring, you know, 3,000 years ago in knowledge and history to today to say, hey, look, it can work on landscaping, horticulture, It can grow ag crops. The most valuable agricultural region in this country and probably the world is California. And let's figure out how we can bring those learnings to today, because commercially we can produce biochar, very consistent product. You know, the CoolTerra product is consistent. We can do that today, but I don't know that we're actually bringing the knowledge to bear and using it in California today.
Well, Ivy, do you see that? Do you see us bringing the knowledge home?
Yeah, I think it's a slow process. It's maybe an organic process, you could say. Like just plant
like
some,
composting, right?
You know, plant some seeds and then tend them well and let them grow. And for me, the seed that I'm trying to plant is just the idea that your food scraps are not garbage. It's not at all what we see it as, and that it's worth preserving.
So when we're throwing away the garbage, we're throwing away the paycheck.
Right. And then I try to make it as easy as possible for people to not have to do that, so that they're not just feeling guilty about it, that there's actually something that they can do.
Wesley, what happens when you take, you know, the enhanced biochar, your Cool Planet biochar, to a professional grower like a strawberry grower and say, listen, we have this wonderful charcoal to put on your ground. What do they say?
Most people want to try it out on a small level first. And once they see the results, what we expect. We have, I think, more than 200 customers, more than 100 large-scale commercial trials. Tomatoes, strawberries, peppers, lettuce are all, you know, are all in trials today. And it's an influencer standpoint. Once you see somebody like the City of Thousand Oaks, for example, took and used our CoolTerra product and cut back their water by 50%. Mm-hmm. That's more than the governor, you know, Governor Brown's mandate to cut back at least 25% of the water in the state. It takes an influencer, I'm going to say, like the City of Thousand Oaks, California, to do that. And then others start catching on. We've got people in the Silicon Valley now, some big tech companies who are saying, we need to do this because it's good for the environment and it's helping us. We've even offered Governor Brown, you know, for free to put some of this on the state capitol. His team hasn't taken us up on it yet. But
are you trying to talk Governor Brown into becoming Governor Green? No comment on that.
I like that. You know what? I may tweet that out later. Governor Brown needs to become Governor Green.
All right. Folks, we have a few minutes left when we get back, but I'm going to ask, where do we go next to make all of this happen? Because it's so important that we come to grips with the fact that what we're throwing away is our paycheck. It's our life. And it's we keep throwing it away. Pretty soon, one day, we're going to come to the place where there's nothing left to throw away. We have to figure out a way of holding on to what we got. And those folks down there in the Amazon had a way of doing just that. And that's the conversation today, right back. Well, one of the more interesting things about Terra Preta and our knowledge of Terra Preta in the Amazon Basin is that, one, it kind of takes place on bluffs above the riverbed there, so you're kind of protected from the annual flooding and whatnot. But the other more significant thing to my understanding was that it takes place in smaller plots. There are no vast tracts of Terra Preta. There are a bunches of small tracts which indicate that it was the effort of individual people in working to build that soil that made that soil. And in considering our guest today, Ivy, Ivy Young from Santa Cruz Compost and Wesley Bolson from Cool Planet, both of them, in essence, are working on local or regional levels to affect this change. Wesley, that kind of ring true?
Yeah, I think our biomass comes from, our ag waste is coming from a regional, local. It's, you know, we collect it from, say, 20 to 40 mile radius. But, of course, I think we have the ability to make a much larger impact than just within that 20 to 40 mile radius. We'll send the biochars out, to the ag crops and so forth.
Sure. And you have nice, pretty packages, so it's easy to ship too and easy to sell.
Yeah. We mostly try to ship the semi loads, big old super sacks, 1 meter cube super sacks. But, you know, they're, you know, depending on it, it's, I think, you know, for where we're going, it, you know, big agriculture is going to take this and say, hey, look, we want to use less water. We want to use less fertilizer. We want to grow more crops. And so it will go from being, something that you and I would just use in our home garden, which you can easily do, to something that is what feeds and fuels us, you know, with using this TerraPreta/enhanced biochar.
And then, Ivy, you're the person that makes the biochar sing. You're the person that puts the nutrients and the humus around the biochar, and that's really where the life comes from.
Yeah, and it doesn't really get any smaller or more localized than what I'm doing. And also, you know, what I'm doing has certain limitations because I do operate my business utilizing bicycle power. Mm-hmm. And that means that as of right now, I'm not biking up to the top of UCSC to get people's food scraps from up there.
Not going long distances, right.
But I'm trying to make an impact within the boundaries that I have set.
Now, with respect to building soil, it seems to be a very individual basis of what they did in the Terra Preta of the Amazon. It seemed to be very localized people building soil that lasted for 3,000 years. Is that something maybe we could be looking at with respect to our enhanced biochar and our compost?
Totally. And what I find interesting is that of the four piles that I have that I'm managing right now in four different sites in Santa Cruz, each one produces a very, very different kind of soil dependent on the feedstock that is going in, which would be the food from the local community, and then also the environment that each farm provides.
There you go. Well, folks, this has been, to me, a very interesting edition of the Food Chain Radio because it takes what we're doing right now with respect to Ivy Young of Santa Cruz Compost, Wesley Bolson of Cool Planet, and combines them into something that could possibly result in soil that would sustain us for many, many, many years in the future. Big thank you to Wesley Bolson, Ivy Young, and Kelly Bayer also for suggesting this program. And thank you all out there for tuning in the food chain. You got to remember Mike Olson's first law of the food chain, which is agriculture is the foundation upon which we build all our sandcastles. Thank you.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.